Thank you, Sophia. I love visuals. They seem to stick with me a lot longer when I have a visual to go with. So thank you for that this morning. That'll stay with me for a while. The scripture reading this morning is from Romans 8, 37 to 39 and Isaiah 41, 10. And you can follow along overhead. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Randy, blessings to you.
Got my hanky. Got the tears going already. That was
a lot of emotions this morning, friends. This is a powerful morning of worship to be a part of. How do you say goodbye as pastor to people that you love? I don't think I can sufficiently do that well, or as well as I would love to do. But I hope in the past 6 years I've been able to, that you've been able to know how much of an impact you have had on me as your pastor. I am so grateful for the past 6 years. And I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you, just as the first word here before we start the sermon. And Emily has a couple minutes just to share in the beginning here as well.
So I wanted to share just a few thoughts with you as I've been reflecting over the past 6 years. And first, I can't say enough how humbled I am to have received so much love and kindness from each of you over these years. And I don't take that for granted. And I don't think you should, as a church, take that for granted either. When I first came to this church, Randy was my boyfriend. And at that point, we were trying to figure things out in our relationship. And thank goodness, as you all know, we figured things out and got engaged and married 5 years ago. And what a good journey it has been. As I reflect over the years, I have a huge feeling of gratefulness. Gratefulness for each one of you. I am grateful for how intentional you were in getting to know me. I always felt cared for as you showed interest in me and you invited me into your lives. We shared stories together week in and week out. I am grateful for how I got to watch you love others with gritty determination that did not stop even when it was not easy to love. Wimmera Heights, you are passionate about the things that are unjust in our neighborhoods and in our world. And I've gotten to witness you put that passion into action. You stand behind what you believe in as you follow Jesus down difficult roads. And I have been so humbled to watch and get to join you in that. Lastly, I'm grateful for your authenticity as you relate to each other. You provide a sense of come as you are enough. And I see that you provide that authentic care for so many people around you, and I have felt that. I have felt humbled to be so welcomed in the church these past 6 years, and I have a sense that I've been a part of something very sacred. I have been a part of a love that springs from God's wide and deep and everlasting love, and that's an incredible thing to remember you each by. Thank you, church family, for your love and your care, and I will be carrying that with me.
So
So I was thinking I could just name this sermon, Thank You, Whitmer Heights. But while that would be a wonderful title, I wanted my last sermon title to also name God, first and foremost. Thank you, God. And as we so well were led into in our call to worship and singing, God's faithfulness from generation to generation. Over the past 6 years and into the future for Whitmer Heights and for Emily and I, that we are held in God's love. That we are held in the palms of God's hand. Now, that sermon title actually comes from my installation service almost 6 years ago. And if you remember back, Eileen did children's time. And this was given to the children, and I was able to get one as well. It's two hands, and it's my picture, and it says, God has Whitmer Heights in the palm of his hands. Now, this is significant because the hands are the symbol that I don't know how long has been in this church, but it's for the first step, the powerful symbol of hands and the hands of Christ that hold us. This has been on my desk hanging up. There's not many things that last 6 years on a desk. This was one of them. And I'm going to take it to the Cancer Institute and hang it up as well. In the palm of God's hands. That's the text for us this morning as well. The God who created each of us in the image of God. The God of Abraham and Sarah. The God of Ruth, Jacob, Rachel. The God of Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Jesus. The God of Paul and Timothy. The God of the disciples who tried to figure things out, of men and women following Jesus. The God of our Anabaptist forebears 500 years ago, and of all Christian tradition. And the God of Whitmer Heights. This is the God that holds us in the palm of his hands. In the text this morning, from Isaiah, we read, Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And a little later on in Isaiah, we read in Isaiah 49:16, Behold, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. These verses in Isaiah are meant to silence those fears that creep in when you wake up at 3 a.m. and it's just like everything's kind of falling apart. Fear can grip us. Fear gripped Israel in their time of captivity from Babylon. Because fear, it's this unknown of the future. When you're living in captivity, you're not sure what life's going to be like for your children and your grandchildren, and that fear creeps in. And so these words are meant in those times of fear to bring comfort, to bring reminders of God's faithfulness. Whether it's for Israel in captivity or it's for us today in our times of the fear of the unknown, these words are living words of comfort for us. Living words from a living God. Just as alive today. Words that pierce our heart, as scripture says. Fear not, fear not in your time of need. God will uphold you with the right hand of God's righteousness. And then Psalm 48:10, I will hold your right hand, go hand in hand with me. God will take us by the hand, we read in Scripture, as our guide to lead us in our way, will help us up when we have fallen down. When we are weak, God will hold us up. He will encourage us and take us by the right hand. This image of hand holding is so powerful. Think about someone that needs to find their balance, or cannot see in the dark, or is walking down steps and they're feeling a little shaky. What do? We reach out our hand to them. Here, take my hand. I'll help you down. You can't see. Take my hand. I'll help you through here. We reach out our hand and we connect in that time of shakiness or unknown. Or I think of baptisms. When we kneel, a sign of dying to ourselves and to our sins, the kneeling is this sign of kind of the cross and this self-giving up, vulnerable self-giving up to Christ. And after we have died in baptism, we rise again by taking a hand, a right hand, and saying, rise up, welcome to the church. By taking a right hand and standing up. This is like the right hand of God. A hand that keeps us connected. When we are holding hands, we are not separated, but we are together. And this is such a comforting and encouraging and empowering word right now in the midst of these transitions that are filled with so many emotions for me. God's hand continues to hold all of us. God's hand is holding you. God's hand is holding Emily and I. In the palm of God's hands, we are not separated, but we are together. But not just temporarily. Romans 8:37-39 says, no, there is nothing that can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is nothing that can separate that hand-holding in Christ Jesus our Lord. Neither death nor life, angels or demons, the present or the future, any powers, height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In all of these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God's mighty right hand holds us and does not let us go. And God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so how do we respond? How do I respond? Simply by saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for your love in Christ Jesus. At the prayer meeting on Tuesday, we had a really special time of ending our my time as the prayer group. We had a special time of fellowship, and we just began our prayer time by just giving thanks. It's so easy sometimes to start our prayers with petitions. And yes, we bring our petitions to God and God hears them, but just beginning our prayers with thank you. Thank you, God, for your love in Christ Jesus. Thank you, God, for your faithfulness from generation to generation. Thank you, God, for this amazing 6 years as being pastor here at Whitmer Heights. Thank you, God, for each of these people who know how to love others so well. Thank you, God, that you hold us in the palm of your hands. And this morning, as I reflect on God's love and faithfulness, I've been thinking about the past 6 years, and I did pull up some pictures that I wanted to show that remind me of the past 6 years, of who you are. Reminders just to give thanks to God. Reminders that we are held in the palm of God's hand. So when I needed to be reminded of community, fellowship, and love of the outdoors, could I get the first picture, Todd? This is a special picture. It's at retreat, and I think just about every year we hiked up the 1,000 steps. And every year it was a different group, but there was always just like, well, who wants to do 1,000 steps? And there was always a motley crew of people that would end up doing it. It's just a real, I love it because it's the great outdoors and we're in community and just having fun together. God holds us in the palm of his hands. When I needed to be reminded of the beauty of making music, the fun times we had at community night and intergenerational joy or worship and worship, that picture comes to mind. Remember getting that big circle right over here and everyone brought their instruments and we had all the children involved? It was beautiful. And it didn't matter if it sounded way off. That's not the point. The point is we're making a joyful noise to God and we're joining together in community and making music to Jesus. When I needed to be reminded of what a church that serves together looks like, I'll remember this. Stacks of school kits being sent off to Mennonite Central Committee, which will then be sent all over the world. And a church that serves together stays together. There is something powerful that happens when we serve together, because the groups that went to MCC or the volunteers at CVCCS or the volunteers at the Reuse It, which many of you are, you know, volunteer at MCC's Reuse It shops. They're diverse people serving together. And you're not getting hung up on particular theological things. We're just there to serve. And when I see that picture, it's just a beautiful picture of Whitmer Heights serving together in so many different ways. God holds this church in the palm of his hands as you serve others together. When I need to be reminded of the joy of worshiping outside in God's creation, I think of our outdoor worship services that we had. Outdoors right out here behind us, outdoors at the Kaufman Fruit Farm. There is something beautiful in worshiping outdoors. And even when we just took some time to be quiet and just hear the birds, the beauty of creation. I appreciate the way this church, in so many different ways, appreciates creation and the worship of God in creation. When I needed to be reminded of how this church remembers those who have died that were a part of our church, I remember when we had our service of remembrance and we lit candles for people in our lives that are no longer here. And even in my own life, I recognize that my Grandma Gall would be 100 years old this year. Or I think about my Grandpa Gall, who died of cancer in his 40s when my mom was 12. And there's something so important in remembering those that have gone before us, because it reminds us of God's faithfulness towards them and towards us and when we are gone into the future. And there's something powerful in lighting candles and remembering those who have died and honoring. And so many times I would hear stories of, remember that time of John or Ginny, Minerva Nisley, and many, and others too. I think about people like Brother John Landis. Even when Brother John just one time told me, Randy, I love you. We were talking about something theological and maybe we didn't see it exactly the same, but he said, Randy, I love you. Rest in peace, Brother John, as he's looking down upon us and saying, yes, God does have you in the palm of his hands. And this was a picture from community night when Abby helped us do the succulent wreaths. It was a really cool thing that Abby pulled together there. When I needed to be reminded of the beauty of the First Deaf Church and the partnership with the deaf and hearing and the efforts that went in working together, and I know it's not easy. I know it takes a lot of work on both sides to understand one another. But I think of the combined breakfast and worship service together. This was the Christmas program that the deaf put on. And I think about how powerful it is that when I saw the sign language during worship, the sign just brought a new understanding and meaning to the worship that the words themselves couldn't do. When you saw the signs, it just brought to life these songs in a whole new, fresh way. It was so powerful to observe and be a part of. And so I am grateful that God holds Whitmer Heights and First Deaf in the palm of his hands. When I need to be reminded of coming together and eating and fellowship, all these wonderful meals back here in the fellowship hall, and also mountain pies. Is anybody getting hungry for a mountain pie? We came together on Easter morning. We celebrated resurrection. We celebrated Jesus who is alive and will live forever. Christ is risen. Christ is risen indeed. Now, mountain pies and fellowship, and let's live in the power of the resurrection. And it was just a great memory. When I needed to be reminded of those one-on-one times with many of you, getting to know you in your homes, hearing your stories, hearing what brings you life, fills your soul with joy. One of those memories that comes to mind is when I got to build a spice rack with Wes Neuswanger. I wanted to make a spice rack for Emily, and Wes graciously helped me to build it. But it was that time of just connecting together. And Wes is just one example of many of you that I've been able to connect with and hear your stories and just spend time together and pray together, figure out together how to follow Jesus. It was just such an honor and joy to be invited into those spaces. Going to a Penn State football game with the Boyers or many things. It's just a lot of, just so many good memories. I can't begin to name them all, so I won't. When I needed to be reminded that we practice and we learn, I think of this picture. This was a picture of things that you guys brought, of things that you have practiced over time and you are growing in. So whether it's art or running or, I can't even see everything in there or know what everything represents, but it was just a cool image to see that we're all growing and learning. And in the same way that these represent things that you are growing in, we are growing to be more like Jesus. We are figuring out how to follow Jesus. And it's a journey. Just like all of these things that you have practiced, you don't get to a point where you say, I've completely perfected it, I'm good. The journey of following Jesus and growing to be like Jesus continues. And so may God continue to hold you in the palm of his hands as you continue to grow, practice learning to follow Jesus. When I needed to see the church at Christmas time coming together singing Christmas carols, this is a picture at Landis Homes. It was a fun tradition of singing together and community and then eating some fun cookies afterwards. When I just needed a reminder that life's not perfect, it's good to keep things light and learn how to laugh. I think of that. That's not the actual letter. It's just so much fun. I just love the way this church embraces humor. I mean, it's just wonderful. And this is a highlight for me. When I needed to be reminded of what intergenerational community looks like, I think of this. Just take a look at that picture, friends. How incredible is that? J. Lester Brubaker next to Josh, Becca, Sophia, Madeline, Matthias, Ernie, Nate, Dean, and Jan. That's incredible. I mean, just, I don't take that for granted. That you could get that kind of community around a table, and it looks like everyone's really having a pretty good time, too. And so
that's the beauty of Whitmer Heights there in a nutshell. Like, the intergenerational fellowship of all ages and enjoying community. When I needed a reminder of coming to the table in communion, the communion table to worship, to remember what God has done for us, to recommit to being the church, the body of Christ, communion was a special time of worship at Whitmer Heights. And this was a time when there was so many different beautiful breads. And I will remember the communion times as God held us in the palm of his hands. When I needed some Turkey Hill ice cream reminders, we got the cow in our backyard. Thanks to Don and Judy, they somehow got the Turkey Hill cow here. And we enjoyed fellowship with First Steph and Whitmer Heights outside. When I needed to remember that even in COVID, nothing could separate us from the love of God and from the love of one another, and we had to get creative. And we did this. Can you believe it? We did this for 13 weeks of worship with Zoom on online worship. It's hard to say goodbye as pastor to people you love. It's even harder to say goodbye as pastor to people you love in a global pandemic. With masks on and social distancing and Zoom. But I am still grateful that we could have 13 weeks of this. Because it was still a way to stay connected as much as we just wanted to be together. And I know that God was still with us in those times of worship. And when I needed to be reminded of just an incredible church family that I was honored to be a pastor for 6 years, this picture is very special to me. It was at my installation service and Neil helped to coordinate everything. I think Jonathan took the picture. And it has my family, it has friends, it has First Steph, it has Whitmer Heights. It's just a very special picture that I will always keep with me. And last but not least, when I just need to laugh and like, that is just absolutely crazy that that happened. There's nothing like having to send a prayer request to the church. We got attacked by a rabid fox. Can you pray for us? But you know what? Just crazy stuff happens. And this church did pray for us a lot. And we are very grateful for that, Emily and I. And we are also very grateful that there is a rabies vaccine. It's things you can't take for granted that wouldn't have been there 100 years ago. So I'm grateful. Now, this last picture I'd like to spend a little time on. If you remember back to a sermon I shared a couple years ago, in that sermon I talked about hands as well. The hands in a portrait by Rembrandt. This picture is the return of the prodigal son. And this picture, I became aware of it through Henry Nouwen's book, The Return of the Prodigal Son. It was the fall of 1983 in the village of Trosly, France. And Henry Nouwen was visiting the Liarche community, a community that offers a home to people living with mental handicaps. At this particular time, Henry Nouwen was tired. He was worn out from rigorous travel. He was speaking many places along his demanding teaching requirements at Harvard. And he was just kind of feeling exhausted. I think he shares in his book, he was feeling kind of insecure as well at that moment. And he was sitting one afternoon and talking with his friend Simone Landrian. and his eyes gazed upon this poster pinned on his friend's door. His eyes fell upon this picture. This man in a great red cloak tenderly touching the shoulders of a disheveled boy kneeling in front of him. In that moment, Henry Nouwen says, his eyes just could not leave that work of art. It absolutely captivated him. It held him. He felt as if he had to get near to it. Nouwen says, quote, it reached me in a place I had never been reached before. The hands represented in such a powerful way for Nouwen, the loving hands of God, the Father. The loving hands of God the Father. In this person, the boy kneeling, Henry Nouwen saw himself. His broken places, his pain, his insecurity, his shame. Those moments that he didn't feel loved. He identified with that boy, the prodigal son. And he saw, even in that time of brokenness, the love just holding him, the hands of God. The heart of Henry Nouwen's teaching in his book and many of his books is his conviction that simply we are the beloved of God. And our ability to share that gift of the God's love in Christ with others is only as great as our ability to claim it for ourselves. I'll share that again. Our ability to share outward the gift of God's love in Christ to others is only as great as our ability to claim it for ourselves. Why is it always easier to believe someone else is loved by God than to believe I am? Nouwen says self-rejection is the greatest enemy of the spiritual life because it contradicts the sacred voice that calls us the beloved. How can we listen for the voice that calls us beloved, that says nothing can separate you and me from the love of God in Christ Jesus? How do we listen for it? How do we receive it? It's like discovering a well in the desert, Nouwen says. Once you have touched wet ground, you will want to dig deeper. And that's my prayer for all of you as I transition here out of Whitmer Heights as your pastor. May you continue to dig deep into the well of living water that is the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. May you continue to discover it. Continue to dig. Don't get too comfortable. Continue to be embraced by the loving hands of God. It's the journey that you're on together to claim and to know and to keep digging and to know the love of the beloved that surrounds you. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So Whitmer Heights, in this time of transition, I am filled with many, many emotions. I don't know how to say goodbye, but I do know I can say this with confidence. God will continue to have Whitmer Heights in the palm of his hands. God will continue to have Emily in the palm of his hands. God will have all of us connected in the palm of his hands. Amen.